Zach Pies, welcome to Six Seasons and a Podcast.
Hey now.
Hey. Six Seasons and a Podcast is, I don't know, this creation that I just said, hey, you know, it'd be really fun to talk to the writers and creators and people behind the scenes who have made community something that on a personal level was, you know, something obviously it's hilarious and made me laugh. But, you know, in the circle of life, you know, there's moments where it's really been a helpful thing to like just have something to laugh at when you have nothing else to laugh at.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, yeah, it's true though. And I think there's lots of people. I think community fans are thinkers and feelers, and you know, what I've gathered from others is that you know, they've really used it as this connection to these people. And and I wanted to make something that said, I'd love to talk to the person who wrote one of my favorite episodes is environmental science, believe it or not. I really loved the Feifel American Tail thing. It was one of those, the first, you know, 10 episodes where I like the emotional side of it. I laugh at it, but then I get a piece of something else and something deeper. Harmon thing I've seen, but it's
big time.
But anyway, so this is Six Seasons and a Podcast. I've had a couple other writers on, and you are awesome to come and do this. And
yeah, no problem.
Yeah,
it's great. I love hearing how much people love this show, because if I wasn't a part of it, I would be a huge fan. You know, it's like one of those shows that, like, I mean, in all sort of like art and stuff like this, like especially comedy, specifically with my relationship with comedy, like I always dreamed about like working on a show that I would have loved when I was younger. Like, and this is definitely a show that if I saw when I was like 10 or something, like this would have been my favorite show of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think Gravity Falls would fall in that as well. I think that's a really fun show.
I've been lucky to have a couple. That totally would have, I would have been a huge fan of that. And I think we're going to get a generation of people who are really funny, because there's like so much good comedy shows that are geared towards younger people.
Yeah,
like Gravity Falls.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you, I grew up like with like DuckTales and Gummy Bears, and you know, that was the cartoon on Disney that I got to enjoy. It wasn't the hilarious and imaginative stuff that you have now.
So. Gummy Bears.
Yeah, I know. I'm going deep.
Those are deep cuts. Are you reliving those years with a Disney Plus subscription or something?
I am. I have three wee little ones.
That's awesome.
So my oldest is almost 9, and I've got a 6 and a 4-year-old. And I've had them go back and watch, especially DuckTales. I don't know. I was a fan of that one. So we're not talking about Community yet. So
we're cheating.
let's talk about Community, and actually let's talk about like what, you know, what do you love about TV writing? Because, you know, I think, what do you, you know, how did you get into this, and you know, what brings you joy in doing it?
Oh God, it was just a very, very long journey, but I loved television my whole life. It's kind of like my mom was also a huge TV nerd, so she pretty much showed me, you know, everything from like I Love Lucy onward. And I've always been into that format, the sitcom format. It's I don't know what about it. It's just one of my favorite things. And I wanted to do it, but I wasn't sure what the route there was. And I think a lot of people have that same answer where, you know, they wanted to get into TV writing, but there's no one way to do it. Every single person who gets a job in this business, it's like it's their own personal journey and their own story. I know a lot of people who get into it through, you know, being a writer's assistant, or, you know, maybe being a part of the Harvard Lampoon. Like, you hear that one a lot.
You did UCB, Is that right?
I did do UCB. But yeah, that was a little bit of a connection into the becoming a professional eventually, because I did I met someone through stand up who I thought was just a really awesome comedian and actor named Charlene Yi, and she was like really into my stuff, and so we wrote a couple shows at UCB together, and there was someone from NBC in the audience, and they loved it, and they wanted her to write a pilot script, and she said, "Oh, cool!" Like she wanted to have her friend, which was me, help her write it, which like she didn't have to,
Yeah, that's
but yeah, like so I'm like forever in her debt for giving me that awesome opportunity.
That's awesome. So you co-wrote that with her, and then what was the next step to getting on Community? Because that was your first full writing experience, right?
That was, yeah, I was basically the newest, like the one with the least amount of experience in the writer's room. I didn't even have an agent at the time that I got the job. I what I did, I was I submitted to this writing contest that NBC held. It's called Writers on the Verge, and then like when you get in that program, they you go through it, and like you they help you develop a new spec script and a new original pilot, and so yeah, that was my kind of my only connection with like the I mean other than the pilot script was with NBC, and around that time there wasn't there weren't a lot of comedies like being developed. Like it was more about dramas at that point in time, and like NBC had only picked up one new comedy, which was Community, and I remember thinking like, oh no, like I kind of like hitched myself to the wrong wagon, but I
Little
don't
did
know,
you
it
know.
just yeah, little did I know, yeah, I was never so happy to be so wrong.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you kind of did it in a similar Dan Harmon way, which was, he came in and never, he never was in a writer's room. He was first time showrunner, and you came in with no experience, and then not no experience, you know what I meant. With not having a writer's room experience and coming in, so
Well,
that's cool.
I think he had some experience, but it was never through like network half hour sitcoms. Like, is he like he had he kind of did like a Dino had his own like sort of like sketch style variety show that he was developing, and like he kind of did the thing where like that Dan did for him on Community, where like he brought him on as a friend that he wanted to like help write on that and stuff. And of course, like Dan did the amazing first season of the Sarah Silverman program, which is awesome, and of course like that legendary pilot of Heat Vision and Jack. So
Yeah,
he like
so
yeah he def
he's not like
I'm
he did nothing. I wasn't.
yeah he more than proved that like that guy had the
Sure.
goods, and everyone wanted to kind of like work with him like or develop something. I was even like I was really impressed with the concept of community, like having a show, the setting on a community college, and I was like, why has this never been done before? It seems like such a perfect setting. And I remember talking to, I think it was a Sony executive, and he said something to the effect of like, no, it's been tried a lot, but like none of them were very good until this script.
Yeah, there's a joke in I think it's Science of Illusion. So I watched both your episodes. I think there's a joke in Sciences of Illusion w that Jeff makes. He's like, "Oh yeah, about all the other comedy." Anyway, he makes a joke about the college comedies on TV or something like that.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's interesting. So when we're getting into getting on Community, what was yeah, let me ask about what was your spec script like? Can you talk about like what?
Oh yeah, that's a great thing to bring up, because my spec script was a spec of the Sarah Silverman program, and And so that was another kind of nightmare for me because there's like kind of like a rule where like you don't write a spec of the show that you want to submit to. Like, so if you like say want to be a Simpsons writer, you definitely don't send them a Simpsons spec because like the people who work on The Simpsons know the show in and out, and like they're only going to see all the things that are wrong with the script versus if it was a show that wasn't that show. And so this was sort of the same sort of problem because I was like sending that spec to the guy who created the show, and I was like, oh God. But the Sony executives that I met with before I met with Dan, they seemed to really like it, and they didn't see it as a problem. And so like later I found out like after I had gotten the job that Dan really liked it, and like he had actually read other Sarah Silverman specs before, but like none of them were any good. And this was the first one that he read that was, and that was a very nice thing
Nice.
for him to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
He, yeah.
What was it like meeting him for the first time? Do you remember
Yeah, I
your
was like,
interview?
I mean, because like obviously, so I just revealed that I wrote a Sarah spec. So obviously, I was a giant fan already. And so, yeah, it was pretty nervous, and it felt awkward at first, but because it was mostly Garrett and Neil were the ones doing the most talking, and I can't remember what I mentioned. I think I probably was asking some questions about Annie because I was very curious about what her character was like. From just reading that first script, because I felt like it could be totally up in the air with what that person was about,
Sure.
and then that's like that just gave like Dan the spark to just kind of like talked all about her backstory, like how she probably had like some crazy like Adderall style freak out and maybe like ran through like a glass door or something like that, where she probably had a breakdown, and like that's why she's found herself at a community college versus being at like a great university, you know, when obviously
Sure.
someone who's probably as good as studious as she is. And then like after that, I think the awkwardness was gone, and I mean I had read that. I mean, it's one of the best written pilots of all time. Just that script is, I mean, the pilot episode is pretty dang good. It's definitely A plus, but I feel like the actual written script was just complete perfection.
I was going to ask I want to stop because that's a really important thing. Like, why to like a total novice like myself and anyone listening, why is that? What's
You could just you can feel every single one of the characters. Like you they were just they played so perfectly, and every line there was no fat in it at all. Like every line was perfectly suited for every
Yeah, I
character,
see.
and
Yeah.
it's just it's yeah it's just like that it's just like a fantastic read. And I think I was also one of the very few people who got the job that like had also seen the pilot episode, because I had friends that worked at the United Talent Agency, and I was able to get them to like send me a DVD. And so when I saw that, I was like, oh, this show is like this is going to be something really special.
Yeah, I want to talk to you then about kind of coming into the show and, being on the first time staff writer. Did you have anyone come alongside of you during that process? I mean, did any of the other writers say, "Oh, baby writer, come in," or is it,
No,
or
not at all. Like
yeah.
I was totally just thrown to the wolves. I think part of that was that's just like, all right, like you're in the major leagues now, so you gotta like, you know, you gotta sink or swim kind of. But also, I think there was just like a lot of like drama going behind the scenes, because I think and I listened to Andrew's interview, and he seemed to like talk a little bit about how like there was a bit of a power struggle at the top. And like so there are all these different like factions trying to wrangle control of the show.
Yeah.
So it was like it was a little just like it was just like a little bit chaotic, and so people didn't really have time to coddle a baby writer, which is fine. But like it is like it's one thing I'll say for all new writers is that you have no idea, like there's no way, like no one like tells you like the basics, the ins and outs of like story structure, and like there's because there's no like really good sitcom writing book out there. I feel like, which is weird because I feel like if someone wrote like the definitive sitcom writing book, like I think it would do really, really well, but no one's been able to do it. And you kind of don't really learn it until you actually like you start doing it and it like becomes like a necessity, and then you start to absorb from all these like much more experienced sitcom writers what they know about story structure. Because I mean before that, I mean like I'm good at like writing jokes and gags and like and I love like characters and I love like stories, but like the actual structure of it is like is its own thing that like is very, very important to TV writing. And so like that was sort of something I had to like learn as I went.
Yeah, I've dabbled just mostly from a therapeutic standpoint. It's just fun to I worked at a in a in banking in my very, very early days when I was a musician and stuff. So I wrote God, I wrote a kind of a pilot script about my banking days just to like
Nice.
really do like get through some therapeutic things about how much I hated that part of my life. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I can remember bits and gags of like, I worked with this one guy who's, we just had a really funny time together. And, so I ended up sending to him and he was like, oh my God, this is so fun. So, I mean, I'd never do anything with it, but it was mostly,
No, that's
but
great.
I can see that, like, I've gone back now and read it and go, oh God, like, there's like no structure at all to this. So, to someone who doesn't know anything, I can write bits like you're saying. I can write parts of stories that kind of thing. But if you don't know what you're doing, structure-wise,
Yeah, totally. And
interesting.
I actually just remembered something in the when I in the interview that I had with Dan and the showrunners, and I like I got to mention the fact that I actually went to a community college, and I mentioned how this is something that you would never brag about in a job interview. But like this was actually pretty perfect because it's like trying to get a job at ER and saying that you're actually a doctor, or trying to get a job writing on Quantum Leap and actually having been a time traveler. Like it's just perfect. And I think that's also something that Dan liked because he was also like the only one who'd went to a community college, and I think he said about like Garrett and Neil is like these guys went to Yale, and the
That's
And
funny.
so that was kind of like a lucky kind of like stars kind of aligning sort of thing. I was just lucky to be the token community college writer in the room.
Yeah. No, well, I can see why Dan gravitated towards you and brought you on. A total aside, have you ever had a chance to talk about any of these stories? Like, it's funny. Like I don't, I should have, I just literally bought the Community DVDs today, yesterday, because I was like, I really
Oh,
should be
cool.
way better at like knowing a lot of stuff. I mean, I do, and I've watched the episodes 100 times each, but I've never listened to the commentary. Did you ever get to do any of the commentaries or anything like that?
No, I didn't do the commentary. I did do one podcast, which
How dare you? No, sorry.
which just like just to just to be perfectly honest, I was actually like listening to it before we got on the phone together, because I was like, I don't remember any of that stuff I talked about. Maybe I can like there could be stuff I can steal from the last time I was asked about this.
Nice.
So this
Well,
is
that's fine.
basically our interview is a copy of a copy.
Oh.
It's like of community stories from my memory.
I'll take it.
But
It's fine. It's fine.
yeah, I actually think that, like, other than Dan Harmon himself, I don't think audiences really, they're not really that interested in, like, what goes on behind the scenes, as far as, like, they don't want to hear from writers. Like, they want to hear from, like, actors and stuff,
No,
and I would say, and then after actors, they want to hear from show creators, and then after that, it's like, never mind, who's this not famous person? Which is fine, because you'd have to be like a hardcore nerd, like I am, and I'm guessing you are, where you kind of want to know, like, what everyone's, like, sort of, like, piece in the in this, like, amazing thing that you love is.
Well, there's I'll not to reveal too much, but there's hundreds of people who at least will be interested in this. So I mean that's kind of fun. I mean it's I agree. There's I don't know that there's people banging down my door, thousands of people, but I think there are a lot of people who in the you know there's a I told Hillary the other day when I Winston when I talked to her, I said there are people who are literally like watching Community for the first time now,
That's so great.
and you know so I'm in like there's a Discord channel like I don't know if you know the kids talk in the Discord I feel so old being in it but there's you know on Twitter there's a ton of people you know on the Instagram there's a ton of people so. There's lots of people who have been really excited to especially hear from you know got just really great reception from the Andrew episode and Hillary I'll get that one out soon very soon in
Nice.
the, in this one I just think that there's lots of people and that lots is you know subjective but I think there are people who really enjoy hearing the nuts and bolts even of TV writing
Totally,
But
like,
so.
I mean, especially when I was, like, growing up, and, like, fans. I mean, I guess you could, like, I could always find, like, interviews, I guess, with, like, like, members of Monty Python or something like that, but if if I wanted to listen to, like, an interview of, like, George Meyer from, like, The Simpsons, like, there was none. So it's like, I think it's great that, like, that people have access to more of these stories.
Yeah, and I'm also t talking to Stephen Sprung next week, who is the editor. So
Awesome.
yeah, and Adam Davidson is going to come on too.
Cool.
So yeah, so I think there's going to be a bunch of different people who have different perspectives that I think cumulatively once more, you know, that's what's interesting about podcasts, like once more. You know the in the ethos start hearing about it and we'll get more people listening and it's pretty cool to see you know how each episode is kind of I watch the analytics build and build I'm like oh this is great it's not like I'm just talking into nothingness and so
Yeah.
anyway that's
My memory of Adam Davidson is he was like, he asked me, he goes, are you emo? And I was like, what? I'm like, no. And he's like, yeah, you're emo.
that's
I
great.
guess because I got like my skinny jeans on and like in my bangs or whatever.
That's really
But
funny. I like it. I like
yeah.
that. All right. So, you know, what's your favorite part about being in a writer's room?
That is the best part, is the room. That's the most fun part about TV writing, because I've also been in jobs where, like, the room is either non-existent or very small, but, like, that room, especially those writers who everyone's so funny and so entertaining, it's just the laughing. And sometimes it's laughing at pitches for whatever episode we're working on, but sometimes it's just like it's just the shooting the shit, if I'm allowed to swear.
You are.
I
My
don't
kids
know.
aren't listening to this. So.
Yeah, I don't know what if this is on a Christian network or not, or like
No, I do have to slap an E on it now, but thanks.
but it's just like, it's just like BSing, like the with each other. It, like, a lot of that is just like, talking about your day, and or like about, like, a book you read or a movie you saw, And sometimes that kind of like messing around like will turn into something that you can use, and like you could usually find those things, and especially in like B stories and C stories. And also I was also with Dan Harmon in particular, the because he's like, you know, he's kind of stretched pretty thin because he's like, you know, he's got to like be in all these different meetings and stuff. But when he's in the writer's room, and he's I'm sure you like listen to his podcast or something, or like he's a fantastic at just holding court. He's just very, very like funny and charismatic, and like and it's got like kind of like a strange brain that's just like so yeah, it's just I laughing like there were times where I would just like you'd be laughing like insanely hard, and if anybody you ask about me knows is that my laugh is very I have a very crazy, crazy person laugh. It's a tough laugh to have. It's like a tough to go to a comedy show and have that laugh, because it's the laugh that makes all the rows in front of you turn their heads around to see where that awful noise came from. But
Are you being
it's
sarcastic, sir?
and yeah, and it's just that's my favorite part, is just the fun, and that energy just comes from just like a lot of really talented people being in a room and each just trying to entertain each other.
Yeah, I mean, so far, I've interviewed two people, other people that were in the room with you, and I can gather from their personalities and the episodes they've written. Yeah, no, I could see how that would have been a really, really fun room to be in. What's the hardest part of that then? I mean, what's, not to
I would
bum us
definitely
out, but.
say the writing the first the writer's draft, writing the first draft of my episode. And that's still true today, where it's just sort of like it's so lonely, and it's like it's just I mean you do have marching orders, and you do go off from an outline that's been approved by everybody, and you've kind of worked out the beats, and so there's a skeleton there, so it's not like, you know, it's not like looking at a blank page, but it's still like the most like nerve-wracking, and you kind of get in your own head a little bit. It's just that first draft is just you gotta sort of power through it. So doing it feels awful, but when you're done, you kind of and you have like some space from it, then you kind of feel better about the whole experience. It's like I think. I don't know, is this an expression where it's like it's not about it's not about the writing isn't what's great, it's having written is what's great.
I
So it's
love
like
writing. I guess, yeah, something like that. I have hate. Yeah, I love having written. I hate writing, or something like that.
yeah,
Anyway,
exactly. Like
something.
I would imagine like building a home would be kind of like a similar sort of like experience, where you're just sort of like, you're like, I gotta be in the sun. I gotta, swing this hammer here. Like, what the hell? But then, like, you got this nice place at the end, and you're like, ah, oh, that's pretty good. Good job, me.
I'm actually finishing my basement right now, which I'm like shivering in. As we established, I'm in freezing Pennsylvania. And yeah, I look at it, I just put up some drywall and some can lights, and I'm like, hey, it's looking pretty good. Yet there's still like bare wires everywhere anyway. But yeah, no, that first pass of it, you go, oh. Yeah, no, like this is gonna work. The fever dreams or the fears are can go away. So let's talk about environmental science, because that's your first episode that you wrote, and
It was, yeah.
it's pretty good, man. I like it. I really did.
Yeah, it was definitely wasn't too hard being on like a fantastic show that like helps a fantastic episode
Oh,
happen.
you're being modest, but yeah, I appreciate that. And no, I think it really is in some ways more focused, because Annie and Britta really have like a don't play much in it. You have that side role, a story with Shirley and Pierce, but it's really like a Jeff-driven type of thing with Chang. And so it is a little bit more focused.
Yeah, that was also like, I don't know if the other writers talked about this, but that was kind of the like Dan's sort of mission in the beginning part of the season was that Jeff would share an A story with each specific character.
Okay.
And when once we got towards the very end, the very last one was with Senior Chang because he hadn't had an A story yet. And so that was kind of the goal going in before we broke the story, is that this was going to be the Jeff and Chang story.
Great.
And
That
then yeah, and then it was
explains it.
then it was finally complete. Then like the audience was like they got to see every character share that time with the main character. And also there was also a thing I think which was accomplished much earlier in the season where I think there's like a lot of episodes where Jeff is very resistant to being friends with these people. And so that was also another thing we're trying to make it like so that like at a certain point this group wears Jeff down and he like he accepts the fact that this is his new family.
Yeah, even Chang.
Even Chang.
So what's your favorite thing about the episode? Do you have anything that like you have to say like, oh, I love X, Y, or Z?
Well, yeah, I mean, I can only take some credit, which is the whole, the Somewhere Out There song.
Oh, that's okay. That was my question. Who came up with the American Tail bit? That was you?
Well, yeah, yes, but the way that it all beautifully came together
Yeah.
with the three storylines,
Sure.
like in the montage, like those were all like separate scenes, and then it took like, Dan's amazing brain to kind of go like, oh no, we can weave these three together. And it just became that perfect thing, which is, and it's also kind of cheating to just like to pitch the whole like singing that. That's such a great song, and especially for like a certain age range of people who
Yeah.
like myself just love that movie. So it's like like at the end we'll sing a great song and everybody be happy. It's like I didn't even, I mean I pitched the song, I didn't write the song.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what's crazy is that like I think getting the rights to that song, because we didn't try to get the rights like before doing the story. It wasn't until it was close to being shot that we got the rights, and I think it was like over 30 grand.
Oh, God.
And so yeah, like get into music publishing, kids. It's
Yeah.
that's where the real bucks are.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a songwriter and he might argue otherwise, but
Oh,
oh
really?
yeah, I mean he's a songwriter. The
Yeah.
publishing company, I'm sure that's exactly where you want to get. You want to be the middleman. Middleman make all the money. That's where the
There you have it.
So who came up with the Green Day bait and switch thing? Do you
Oh,
remember?
I think that must have been Dan, because what actually happened, what I was told to do was that I heard that they were telling us that Weezer, the real band Weezer, was interested in doing something, and this happens all the time on the show where it's like, I mean, because I was a new writer, I actually believed it, but like you get like these like kind of like pitches that I think like someone was saying that what was the what's the pottery making episode? Someone was saying is like, oh,
Beginner
Matt
pottery?
Damon,
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
like Matt Damon what really wants to play this part, and we're like, whoa, Matt Damon's gonna do it. What, of course, like anyone who like knows anything is like, Matt Damon doesn't want to do this. And but I was like, oh, so we'll do that. We'll have Weezer in the episode, and which is kind of cool for me. Like, I love the Blue Album. I love Pinkerton. That'd be nice to like, have an
Yeah.
episode with Weezer in it. And but of course, that was just that never happened. That never materialized. And so the much better option, having this Celtic
Yeah, that's
band.
funny.
And it's funny because it like and it and I guess yeah, and that grows out of like the whole like the Green Day and the joke that I wrote where like where Pierce assumes that this is like a holiday for the Irish,
Yeah. Yeah.
so it's
What?
these kind of these ideas that spring forth other ideas and stuff like that. And there, I was reading in the script So I guess this was cut in the final edit because I watched the episode for the first time in a long time, where so the dean is like really disappointed that they're not the real Green Day. He's like, I thought you guys were the real Green Day, and and he goes like, did it, the guy is supposed to say back to him, we're like, weren't you suspicious when you got us for only $200? And he goes, I thought, well, I didn't think you were the Beatles. Yeah, that's crazy. The whole music thing is crazy, and I was looking through all my old emails and like things like that. I found that I have like an MP3 of like the recording of Troy and Abed singing the duet. So I have like a
Oh,
clean version of
nice.
that
Oh,
song.
wow.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really exciting to see that kind of come together from like when we were initially pitching this thing. And you kind of don't know what's going to end up sticking, and it's really great that that song did end up sticking, and it landed so well. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I was talking to Hillary and I think I'm like part what my, I'm like this detective on the internet trying to find like track down the person who wrote this particular joke and I'm assuming it's like it's knowable facts and like come on, I want to know exactly every moment in this story that made me laugh and made me happy on behalf of everyone who loves Community and I think we kind of just came up with like there's just kind of an unknowable calculus to a lot of the writer's room and how some of these stories came together. It was someone makes an off comment, offhanded comment
Oh
about,
yeah.
a joke
That's what
here.
that's yeah, that's the beauty of the writer's room, is that how collaborative it is. So you just it's just all these brains just kind of like bouncing off of each other, and like certain things just grow even greater than it would if it just be like someone who was writing it on their own, which is like I'm kind of like I have no idea how like there a person like Neil Simon can just like go to his typewriter and just like come out and is like, here's The Odd Couple, I did it all by myself. I think that's like insane, like because I think a lot of the things you really need like other like really gifted writers as the sounding board. It helps like make all the stuff like awesome.
Yeah. And especially when you have as a dynamic and diverse group of people as you have as in the cast and characters, so even more important, I think. Odd Couple's just two, white guys, old white guys, right? So I mean, let's not, give Neil Simon too much credit. No, I'm kidding.
Were you like, what do you got something against fussy Americans and slob Americans? Like, who's the real bigot here?
No. Sorry, it's me. Sorry.
Just joking. But yeah, I think yeah, a lot of times you can't tell what your favorite joke is or who originally came up with the thing. But I mean, sometimes you can. But I remember I've always been a huge fan of Dino before working with him, and I think for some reason there was like he was talking about working on the Dana Carvey show, and like as like the nerd in me, and I just like let it out and I go, who did Grandma the Clown? And he was like, oh, that was me. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's tough when you are in the company of your fan or your heroes and you're like
Totally.
So a couple more points about the episode. I really am curious about let's see the chair, Pierce's chair obsession throughout the episode. Do you remember about that? He's like, is this the chair? And
Yeah, I think that was a very, very late addition. I think that must have been like plugged in like while we were already like shooting the episode, I don't think that was ever in any of the drafts before we started doing it.
It's not really mentioned in any of the other episodes. I thought it could have been like a really interesting, like, Pierce, I mean, I guess he sits in the chair and he's, doing his, he's sitting around the table and he's like, I'd rather kill this conversation or something like
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
He, I do have one specific memory about being there on set because every time they shoot your episode on Community, the writer that who's like whose episode it is, they're on, the person on the set because they're kind of like the person from the writer's room to make sure that everything's goes smoothly or has like the writer's interests going. And oh, anyway, so the chair thing, when Chevy Chase falls backward, he took that so seriously. It was like it was where it was more important to him than any other part of the episode. He like it didn't really matter to him like what his performance is like in any of the other scenes, but for whatever reason, like he I mean there is a specific reason because he's known as being like he's pretty brilliant physical comedian.
Yes,
And you can see why, because when he had to do it, he was just, it was like really important to him. And I was actually kind of disappointed watching the final edit, because he wanted to do it several times because it was important to him that when he fell backward that you could see his feet come up. He's like, you could to him, like that's the funniest version
That's
of he
yeah.
falls over and then you see his feet. But like I guess they didn't use that shot. But yeah, he was
I'm gonna
like
ask Steven next week, and we're gonna get to the bottom of that one, 'cause
Yeah, so that was really cool to see, where he was just like, he's like, oh, this is me. This is my wheelhouse, which is like physical comedy.
I mean, I don't if you grew up with Spies Like Us, that's like the quintessential movie for me of I just think I found him he and Dan Aykroyd hilarious in
Yeah.
that movie.
I mean, I think I watch still to this day, I think as a family, we watch Christmas Vacation every year. And it was recently released re-released into theaters, like at AMC or whatever, and I got to see it on the big screen for the first time. And but yeah, all of this stuff, and I think that was all a very cool thing to have working on the show, because even though like I'm was really excited to get the job, when you like you talk to like family members who are just kind of like normies, like they don't care, like it's like just sounds like any old job. But then if you get to I can tell my grandma that I'm writing jokes for Chevy Chase, and it's like even my grandma can kind of go, oh, that's impressive, and yeah, it was really fun writing for him, and that character specifically, because it was such a despicable character that was like kind of like the show's Cartman. And those characters are always the most fun to write, because they can just be you can just like plug in like any sort of awful thought, and he played it really well. And yeah, that was fun.
What was it like hearing your words, like and we now established that there are some of your words, but and maybe some other the rest of the room as well. But seriously though, what was it like? You get to be in that room, or for the first time, and you're like, okay, I wrote this, that's one thing, but now I'm seeing these amazing people.
Yeah, I have an example of that, and it's also Chevy Chase related. So it's the scene where Chevy is like he's coaching Yvette playing Shirley, and on how to give her presentation, and so before we shot it, the two actors were rehearsing the scene. And I was cackling my head off, and so that was another example of me laughing embarrassingly, and I think it was kind of, I think Chevy started to get like a little kind of annoyed, because I think he found like my laugh like kind of distracting or disruptive, and so he was just like he goes, why are you laughing? And I was just kind of I got kind of like scared, and he said to me, he goes, you think this is funny? And I said, yeah. And then he said, didn't you write this? And I was like, yeah. And he said, then you must think that everything you write is hilarious. And I said, yeah.
Oh, That's a great
And
story.
that was, I think he was like, I think it was also like he was kind of like testing me, because you know, like he kind of has a reputation, like, you know, so
No.
and so
Sorry.
I
Sorry.
think he was trying to like see if I was like cool, like if he
Yeah,
was like,
sure.
you know, he was just kind of like, he was kind of like poking me a little bit. And the fact that I wasn't getting annoyed or angry with his pokes, I think he like that, like he felt like, oh, okay, so this guy isn't like a like
Yeah.
isn't gonna get upset or isn't a
Sure.
pushover or whatever.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, that it was, and it was really great. It is like so narcissistic to just kind of like see like your jokes and stuff and like being performed, and you're just like kind of like some like crazy king who's just like, perform for me. Do the things that I make you say, like
Dance puppets. Yeah.
yes, exactly. And yeah, but it's so much fun. I mean, but I get that stuff sort of thrill anyways, like back in like my sketch comedy days, where I make like my best friends perform stuff, like, so that's where you get the bug, and you just sort of like that's what's a like you get that you get addicted to that, to like writing stuff and then having people do it and then having it like succeed, like, so like if you do a sketch, like it like kills in front of an audience, and then
Yeah.
you feel like a superstar. I think what I sort of I found working on the show was that I'm glad that you really liked that episode, and I do too, but I had much more fun like working on other episodes where like that wasn't my name wasn't on it, where it's just like, you know, I would pitch a joke and then like that would be a joke that like would get on, like it's or like, you know, like a different, yeah, it's just it's the whole show, the whole like the whole experience of doing the show. And it I would say that I get like really self-conscious when it's like when it comes to like my episodes, because then the light is completely on me, you know what I mean?
Sure, that makes
You
a lot of
feel
sense.
so super exposed. But then when you can help another episode that isn't your own, like then you feel like you're a part of a team, and you're like helping to make a good show even better. And like that sort of accomplishment like was one of the things that I love most working on that show.
Yeah, that, I mean, I love when the guests answer the question I was going to ask, which is, basically, what was your involvement like on other episodes? And, do you have any jokes that you're proud of from other episodes that you do remember? And anything like that. So we'll start. Are there any jokes that you remember from other episodes that you got in?
Well, like one of the really memorable episodes, like that everyone like is like a huge fan of, is like the paintball episode. And I was like one of the writers that got to like brainstorm with Emily, like just like kind of like tropes, like war tropes and stuff like that. And like and that was kind of an exciting episode to help out on, because like I think we all knew that it was going to be like a favorite. The one joke that I remember is the one where they think that like that Jeff has been shot, but then he's like really super relieved because it's just blood.
It's just my blood. Yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty proud of that.
That's
And
good. Yeah.
but yeah, that was great. And like that whole concept that Emily came up with, the concept of like early registration, that idea I thought was just genius. So that was really cool. Like, so Emily's awesome.
Yeah, that's your examples are those both of those are really great examples of what I was saying earlier. Like you're tracking down, is it tracking down who made that joke? And that could have easily been a Joel McHale joke, like, oh, it's just my blood,
Well, yeah, because he plays it so perfectly too.
right,
Like it's.
That's sometimes what other folks have said. Like, no, I think that was just, Dan on set with the actor, and we kind of just worked out this joke. Because one of my favorite ones is he's been to Flavor Country when they're at the transfer dance, And Britta is, arguing with Slater over, trying to compete for Jeff, and she's like, "He's been to Flavor Country." Anyway, it's just, I don't know
Yeah,
whoever wrote.
I don't remember that one. That's funny though.
Yeah, it's a.
That what is it? I was like when you were talking, actually, I because watching the environmental science episode again, I did remember like which things were improv. Like Allison, she didn't improvise the whole the gravy train line, but she like did improvise that ridiculous, like she starts like doing an act out of a choo-choo. I don't know why she really wanted to do that, but yeah, like so that was just thrown in. That was her improvising, and then
It's brilliant. It
and
adds
then
so
yeah, when
much.
Troy says like no, we're actually serious. Like so yeah, that stuff was that wasn't yeah, that wasn't a part of the script at all. That was just the cast having fun. And I would say like a lot of the it was a very, very scripted show, but there was like a little like there were opportunities every once in a while for like the cast to be like do something like just like their own little thing, and sometimes it would make it in there. And I know that Donald like he was like one of the best at as far as doing ad-libbing and stuff. And
You could probably tell that. I mean, that's true. I mean, just because of how often a scene will end on his like riffing of something, and that's probably. But you
Yeah,
could.
and I will also say that like also who was like amazing at it, and I think it's no surprise, the fact because he was a groundling, so it was like so Jim Rash was just like he was insanely good at it.
Yeah, he's there's no shortage of talent on that in that cast.
Oh, one of the I'm sorry, another random memory actually is like because it is it is a Senior Chang episode was that is that like I just want to mention how like awesome Ken Jeong is. He's like one of the nicest people in the business. He's just he's awesome. Like because I did a lot of stand up when I was first getting started before I was became a writer. And so I had met him maybe like once or twice just at like a random party that like like a bunch of other stand-ups were at or something, and I probably had like a very just like whatever interaction I had with him at the time was very short, but then like my I think my first week or so at the studio, and he kind of like saw him across the way, and Ken just was just like Zach. And he like his arms outstretched, and he like came and he like hugged me, and like I was blown away that he even like remembered me or like let alone my name and stuff, and that felt really, really good. So that guy
That's did he
rules.
offer you bull testicles then? Is that
Unfortunately, he offered me actual testicles, so
Unfortunately, fortunately, so let's zoom out then and talk, just some generalized, bigger community questions, because I'm sure fans would want to know things like your favorite episode. Do you have a favorite episode of? It can be any of the seasons, because I have a question.
I don't know because I stopped watching the show after I left. But I did watch a couple like the ones that were like the people mentioned that these are like amazing episodes. So I did see the Dungeons and Dragons episode, and it correctly it is an amazing episode. I think I must have emailed Andrew about that, just saying that that was awesome. And then like the timelines episode that
Chaos, th yeah, the Chaos Theory episode.
yeah that I think Chris wrote, and yeah that was awesome. Those are two very great episodes, and I didn't even need to know what was going on that season. I could just jump right in and watch those, and like I was just blown away. They're like yeah it's like watching like the greatest episode of The Twilight Zone, but it's also very funny. Like it's like
Well, I think
and
that's what's interesting about the show. It definitely took more of a genre push, towards the second half I would even say like the contemporary American poultry, the chicken fingers episode on, they're really, it started to move more towards genre based
Yeah.
episodes than the
I,
story
and I, I
ones.
have I have friends that work at American Dad, and which is where Chris McKenna's from, and apparently, like, I'm told that he's been like pitching that idea for like years, and so it's like, yeah, it's great that they finally did it, and that it like ended up being like awesome.
So, do you have a favorite character you like writing for?
Oh yeah, I mean, I already mentioned it, but yeah, it was definitely Pierce.
Oh,
Like,
that's funny.
I'd say probably like if I was gonna say which character that I was most similar to me, it would probably be like the Ovid character. Like Ovid's definitely like the kind of person I was in high school.
Interesting.
But yeah, but Pierce is just very easy to make funny. It's just like it's just like a gift to have a character like that. I think also like similar like what I on Gravity Falls, I think Grunkle Stan is also like that, where it's just like it's nice to have a character like that on a show.
That's a really good character as well.
It's never gonna be like a boring scene as long as that person's like around.
That's funny that it's called Grunkle, because I thought that was a term that we came up with. We have some great uncles in our family, but anyway, it's
Oh really?
a
Yeah, that was the first time I'd heard of it. I didn't know about it until I had met Alex, the creator of the
yeah.
show. He I honestly I would have thought that he invented it,
Yep.
but yeah, if that's an actual thing, that's awesome.
Apparently it's a thing. Do you have a favorite cast member? You said Ken obviously is one of those. Do you have a favorite cast member that you got
I
to
think
know?
they're I don't think that the, yeah that I think we were very lucky that the cast that we had, I think they were all pretty awesome. I mean this would be cheating, but if I had to say favorite cast member, I guess I would say Dino Stamatopoulos.
Well,
But he's
Starburns is
not
pretty
that
great.
doesn't I guess he doesn't like technically count or whatever, but they were all very nice people and super talented. I can't, it's weird. It sounds weird. I don't think I could pick one. I think I would say maybe like Jim Rash made me like laugh the most with like his like ad libs and stuff,
Sure.
but I think everyone is pretty great.
So what is your, and I asked Hillary, like and I described it this way, you leave the show and now you have like these kids that have grown up and like they're going off to they're at college, but like you, they leave you and now you've watched a few episodes, what do you have like a relationship with the show afterwards? If you, you said you haven't watched too much of it.
No, not really. Like it, I mean, it's been a while, but I used to keep in touch with like Andrew and Carrie, a little bit. Yeah, thinking about all those people now, like I really miss those people. But it's kind of like it's people that you work with, It's like once the job sort of ends, then you just sort of like you go in your separate directions and stuff. But those were all really cool people. I would say it was like I would say I kind of miss hanging around Tim Hobart, because we sort of bonded because he used to do stand up before he became a writer, so we kind of had that in common. And like just in the room, like we would just like quote like Dave Chappelle lines and things.
He came over
All
from
those people.
Scrubs, right?
Yeah, that was also another thing, because I think I was a little bit of a snob, and like was like, "Ugh, Scrubs!" Like when I was like younger, like not then. I was a little more like, I didn't have that problem. But when you're kind of like starting up, I kind of thought about things in kind of like punk rock terms, whereas like I would sort of look at Scrubs as kind of like something that was like a little too mainstreamy. But then like. you meet these writers, and then you realize that like it doesn't matter like what opinion you might have of the show, but the people who actually work on these shows, like they're the best of the best. And like, yeah, like meeting him and a few other Scrubs writers, you kind of go, oh. And like, and I've since learned that like Scrubs has its fans where like, you know, people, I think it was a sort of like me kind of like judging a book by its cover. But it was like an eye opener where I go like yeah, like it could like I bet you every writer for the show, like Sister Sister, is like pretty damn awesome. Like it has nothing to do with the product that they're giving
Yeah,
you. Like these are like
interesting.
hardworking people who it took a lot for them to get where they are. And like these are all like you can't deny any of these writers their talent.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great perspective on things. And yeah, I don't have a great way to end this, but I'd love to know maybe a little bit about, the difference between writing for animation versus live action. You transitioned then went over to Gravity Falls, and what's the difference like?
I would say like the differences are just basically like they're only like superficial, like it's production wise it's different, but when you're actually just when you're scripting out the episodes, it's really not very different from doing like live action. I would say I guess I am being because I did grow up a bit of an animation nerd. I do kind of have a visual brain that so I it's nice to put in like the sort of like visual gags that like something that could have easily been in like my favorite seasons of The Simpsons or something. And yeah, I mean like yeah, I was that was like sorry, my first entertainment was basically, you know, like 40s Warner Brothers cartoons and stuff. So even though like I'm a fan of you know of sitcoms, I'm also a fan of like everything else. I'm also like a huge science fiction fan, and these all just kind of like you just digest all of them and you just kind of c comes out in your work. But yeah, I would just say that like it's like I would say that the production is just like on a very much smaller scale than it is like a network television show where like you know you get all these moving parts and stuff. They're both very, very fun. And I mean, both shows were like was super proud of like the stuff that I did on those. It was just felt very lucky to be on like just very two very cool shows.
It's not everyone gets to do it, and so yeah, you should be proud of yourself, and we are thankful on behalf of community fans, certainly of the episodes that you'd put in, but as we know, of all of the jokes in different areas of different episodes. So yeah, I just want to say thanks for making us laugh, and so yeah, thanks, Zach.
Yeah, I'm glad that we were able to make it happen.